What are we doing?
I want to break all my stuff.
Best of 2023.
Oh, God.
The hell is that?
The article I sent today. God, you guys are so unprepared.
I didn't see any article. What are you talking about?
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Five Idiots Talking Toys. I'm Shane and we're here with a collector's podcast. You can watch us here on YouTube or listen on your favorite podcast app. Thanks for joining us. Please subscribe to the channel, hit that bell icon so you can be notified of all new content that we put out twice a week on YouTube. And you can also support the show if you like what we're doing on Patreon/Five Idiots Talking Toys, patreon.com, and you'll get exclusive content there. It's our Five Idiots After Dark series that is not so family friendly, and we will also release all of our new content a few days early for you there if you're a member of our Patreon. So thanks for joining us. Let me introduce some of the idiots on this show. Charles is here.
Number one
idiot. Number two idiot, Brandon Alamo.
Deuce.
And Christopher is here. Trace.
Last.
Trace.
That's four.
Yeah.
Oh, look at the special effects he's got.
Yes.
Such production value in that basement. All right. And our fifth idiot, John, is not with us tonight, but we send him a hello. Hi.
Our love.
Our love. I thought you were going to say, I would love to.
Our love. And Charles was trying to make a weird shaped heart.
I have no idea how to make a heart.
He's trying to get some of that production value that you have. He wanted hearts to float around in the background. All right. Well, thanks very much for joining us here on our YouTube channel or you're listening on Spotify, Apple, Google. Thank you. We're going to jump into this topic. We are going to go back in time to the beginnings of this show when we really focused on the vintage Star Wars figures that we know and love. On toys, yes. So we're going to go back. Listen, we've gained more knowledge. I certainly have. I was kind of the rookie out of the five of us on Star Wars vintage knowledge for sure. We've all gained some more knowledge over these last almost 3 years now, 2.5, 3 years. So we're going to go back and revisit some of these toys that we love, talk about what we know, what we've learned, and share that with our viewers. And please, we ask you to comment below, shoot questions to us. We'd be happy to find some answers for you, give you answers, and chit-chat with you down there in the comments. So we'll see you there.
Every time you mention gain something, I think, you know, gaining weight.
Gaining weight? Yes, that's what I'm doing over here. All right, guys. So let's jump in, and we'll start with... we're going to put some visual up, make it easy on you guys. You don't have to do this from memory, all right? We're going to put a visual up, and I'll give a shout-out to the website we're going to use the images from, galacticcollector.com. Don't know the site, new site to us. We're not affiliated in any way, but he's got some nice images up there. It looks like he has a free checklist for collectors that they can log in, sign up for his website for free, and create a checklist for yourself to track your collection. But beyond that, we're just going to thank him for some great photos and bring those up now. Guys, let's start with the old man first.
Obi-Wan Walden?
Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan Walden.
Obi-Waldo.
All right, so we're going to get him front and center. There he is.
That's
1979 Obi-Wan Kenobi from Kenner.
So, Obi-Wan comes in white hair or gray hair, like me.
Don't forget, like Charles.
They have a dark gray.
There's
and
a dark gray.
Gray.
That's right.
Dark gray variant as well.
Here we go.
There's a medium gray. There's a dark gray. And there's a medium dark gray.
So,
and then his cape, Charles, right? It has like a zip on the inside or the outside. One should be one of them to check to see if it's real or not.
Yep. Right. And there's also one with no zip. You really have to dive into it. There's nuances with the cape. Same thing with the saber. Some have lettering, some don't. You got to make sure the saber's not painted. There's a lot of repro out there. Right, Brandon?
Correct.
Thanks. Just make sure the cape and the saber are good. And then, Chris, what should we look for on the actual figure if you're going to send it in for grading or just looking for mint?
I mean, yeah, if you're really looking for like that mint example or grading, whichever one, I think the first thing you always look for an Obi-Wan is his hands. For whatever reason, he always has like hand rubs missing by like his wrists and stuff. It's always so weird. It's always like that, like right over here. I don't know why it's always missing.
Because the paint application around the hands and the fingers wasn't always so good on those. So a lot of times they would not paint the fingers correctly and it would be off-centered on those.
Right.
Yeah, so.
And for anybody who's joining us maybe for the first time or you've seen a few of our episodes and you're now here and you're listening to us talk specifically about these figures, I'll just say, you know, for all of the figures in the line, and this might be true for toys in general, any of the raised areas, if you put this figure down on the desk, flat on his back, if you were to roll it from side to side, the raised areas of the figures that will touch the desk as you kind of roll it over, that's going to indicate to you where to look on figures for the rubs. It's pretty obvious. You talk about your Boba Fett's shoulders and, you know, certain figures' elbows and hands, of course. Those are the spots that the most outer spots are the spots that are going to get rubbed from the ground.
And the cape as well. The cape tends to break near the armholes, so that's something to look for as well. I found a lot of these have rub on the belt buckle. There's not a good picture. I don't think this guy has a good picture of the belt buckle on here, but sometimes you see that the belt buckle is a little raised and the torso might be degraded as well. So that's something to look for when you see it a little darker than the limbs.
Yeah. Oh, always check his hair because that can get rubbed on the top of his head or the back. Like Brandon said, he will discolor in his torso. So you'll see a different color other than his limbs. And I believe we're talking like U.S. versions only. He will come in a Hong Kong and a no COO.
And, you know, guys, again, we're not real familiar. I was going to say we're not super familiar. We're not familiar at all with this website. We just came across it. And he does have some nice close photography. I'm about to blow your minds about what is down lower on this page. He's got quite a bit of information, but check this out.
Oh, there you go.
Let me see if I can even just refresh this so that it resizes properly.
Wow.
I don't even know. I'm not even getting all of it in here.
Look at those variants.
Yeah. Wait. Let me do the spread here because he's got quite a bit of the variations.
So
here.
That one right there to the left of your mouse is the dark haired variant. Up to the right, that one right there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you could see there's, you know, variants of even the white hair, variants of the gray hair, and we're not going to go through these. You know, maybe that's for another video. This is going to be an introduction to the individual figures, you know, the highlights, what to look for, and what accessories, what major versions you might notice on the figure while you're looking at it. But you can see, just in general, the different colors of brown plastic that went into molding this figure, the different color paint applications with the hair and the hands. But you see, there's a variety of shades of color. And of course, all of these figures are, you know, 40, pushing 45 years old now. So there's also some discoloration out there you have to watch out for.
Yeah. So as far as value, I'm going to let Chris jump into a complete one, but I'll touch on the accessories. A Kenobi saber is around like $30, maybe $35 if it's really, really nice. And the cape, probably like $10, maybe $12, something like that.
Well, don't forget the lettered sabers are worth more than the non-lettered.
Yeah,
sabers.
I mean, it's what, like $35 or something?
Well, on the Obi-Wan, they're a little more rare.
Meh. Rare?
Rare.
Obviously, when you're looking at a loose figure, everyone knows that price is 100% based on condition. Mm-hmm. So if the accessory, like Charles said, like the saber, you can find a saber that's all like wonky looking and all bent and it's all jabbed. It's, you know, all messed up. But if you get a perfect, perfect one, yeah, you can easily get $30-$35 just the saber and $10-$12 just for the cape alone, not even counting the figure.
Yeah. Okay. So a really nice one, like really nice one, like one you would send them for grading. What's that value?
I mean, I would charge $50 for it if that was on the page, like a near mint. I'd charge $50, maybe $55. If you get like an average one, like a 75 grade, which is what you would find on most pages, you know, probably $40.
Okay.
And I'm going to just throw this out here. This is kind of a kudos to Chris. And this is meant for collectors who are listening. Chris's prices are more than fair. Like, fair is not even the right word. If Chris says this is a $50 figure, I have to believe on 90% of other places you're going to find that same really, really nice figure, like almost off the card, it's going to be more than $50. So set that as your baseline. If Chris gives you a price, I think you can look for that price and then feel really good if you find it. But, you know, to spend an extra 10 to 20% on top of that would not be unheard of.
Well, I was giving my price.
Right, right. And that's
I was giving like a Rogue Five price, not like right. a regular other price.
I saw a pretty mint one the other day go for $55. So, I mean, that's what $55 to $60 is what I would pay for a real nice one.
Yeah, and I'll use that chance to tout our sales page. The five of us on the podcast and the action figure grader is there as well. He's got his own channel. If you go to rogue5toys.com, that will get you to our sales page. It's really just a place for us to hang out, have fun, support the podcast, have some live sales, some claim sales. And Chris is really the driver behind that page. He's got a lot of great collectibles, bringing in new collections regularly. So check us out there. Let's move on to the next figure, guys. Let's go to everyone's favorite human-cyborg relations protocol droid. I know I'm jumping all over here on the screen. Excuse me.
It's all right.
There we go.
We'll have John edit it all. Don't worry.
Yeah, he'll clean it up.
C-3PO. I'll go first. There is no accessories on this one. Next.
Condition. Yeah.
There's no accessories on this one. And I wanted to say real quick on that Obi-Wan, it's really hard to find. We don't like the word mint, but it's really hard to find one without any kind of nicks or rubs at all or not. So we're giving you the best of the best, you know, description of these things. Hard to find. C-3PO, go for it. Chris?
I mean, you always want to look at the gold, like the dullness of the gold. It can always vary. It can get really dull in certain spots where you see like silver. You always want to check the limbs. Obviously, this figure can be like a wet noodle. So this is one of those figures that honestly you can sell for $5 or you can sell for $75. And you can justify the $5 and you can justify the $75 depending on the condition. Because he's so hard to find with tight joints and just perfect gold.
And I'll touch on the price. Like very tight limbs. I found one with uncracked limbs. $60-$65 all day, even probably closer to $80 because they're very, very, very hard to find.
Yep. Very hard.
And you've got to hit kind of the trifecta. You've got to, you know, to get to that level, you've got to have the tight limbs, uncracked limbs, also the color, because there's a really wide spread of color tones that this figure has, whether that's from the factory or just it's dulled over time or lightened over time. I don't know. But when you find a really gold one, I've found that to, you know, to be very desirable based on, you know, hearing people talk about it and which ones they're looking for. But tight limbs, the really gold color, and then no rubs. I mean, well, you've got to hit the jackpot there.
Specifically on the rubs, the heels, the toes, the elbows, and his eyebrows, I've noticed, are really some of the tough spots on him.
Rusty nut on the back.
Yes, like the rivet. Nut. Yeah.
Now, one of the main things also for him, and I think you guys would totally agree, him and like the Death Star droid, people glue their limbs together, like their legs and arms, to make them tight so that they're not loose anymore.
Yeah.
So when you see them, you need to know if the limbs are actually tight or if they're glued together, or sometimes just the way these figures are made, they call it frozen. Look at the condition. If you see that it's really rubbed and really dull, chances are someone probably glued limbs together. But if it looks really brand new, shiny, brand new, perfect gold, and his limbs are not moving, don't move them. They're most likely uncracked.
If it looks like somebody rolled it down the driveway and it has stiff limbs, something's not adding up here. If it looks like it has rubs, you know.
Yeah. And you will, and you will see that, because when you move his legs and you see his pelvis area, you will see glue remnants up by his pelvis in the side all the time. Okay. I find it all the time.
Like this one right here looks pretty good. It's probably got stiffer limbs.
Yeah, and you can tell, you know, the arm is already, you know, lifted up a little bit. It's not down like it would be in the on the card in the blister. But when you're looking for that gold C-3PO, I mean, this is a good example. I mean, it even looks a little lighter than maybe one or two that I've seen in person, but that's to be expected with photography and lighting and stuff. This looks really good.
Looks nice.
Yeah. All right. Very good. So when you're talking about worth grading, Chris, you know, where are you at price-wise? What, you know, you've already described what you would want to find. Do you find this figure, you know, worth sending in for grading when you find that great example?
I mean, if you think he's going to get an 85 and higher, which very few of them do, then yes, you send him in to get graded. This is one of those figures that you honestly just want to preserve anyway, because he gets like really, like all the limbs get weak very easily. So, you know, price wise, like Brandon said, you're easily looking at $60. You know, I've seen him 75. You can see him even as high as 80. Okay. And if you and if you find one like that, I'd pay it. I would pay it all day long. Otherwise, on the page, I'm selling a lot of these for $5-$10. Because the thing won't even stand up straight. It's like a wet noodle that's bent over.
Yeah, they're all like loose limbs and everything, yeah.
And that being said, for the folks who are watching this, this is not, you know, let's review the figures so that you can get the best of the best and then, you know, get it graded, or you'll have the mint figure. You may be perfectly fine with a $12 version of this figure. Yep. You can find a nice figure for $10, $12. You could find a real nice figure for $20. So if that's the zone that you're at, you want to put together a run, you want to remember the figures you had in your childhood, that's perfectly fine. That's perfect. That's where a lot of us started and are still at. Next, we have up everyone's favorite Wookiee, Chewbacca.
All right, Charles, we have an accessory.
Accessory is obviously the bowcaster. The only repro one that I usually see is like a painted one. If you snap it, it's white on the inside. I know some people like to push like the light blue, like the really light blue one. Yeah, like that's the first one. I don't really think it's worth anything more than like a regular one. Maybe Chewy, a bowcaster is worth like $12, $15. It's somewhere, you know, somewhere in that range.
Right. There's one that's more solid. I don't know if I would say it's solid like we would refer to some other accessories that, you know, light can't show through, but it's more solid. It's opaque in blue. And I think there's even two or a few shades of blue. There's the translucent blue, which you can really see light going through. I mean, you could see light through the whole piece. And then there's also translucent green. And I, you know, again, like Charles said, I agree. I don't know if there's any, great difference in value between those, maybe a dollar or two, three at most. The translucent green seems to be the popular one, though. If you can get a hold of those, it's fun to just even collect the different ones if you're at that point. But the green one is a little less common. You don't come across them quite as much, so those are fun when you find one.
As far as condition on the figure, things I look for, discoloration of the limbs, which is a big one on this guy. The arms and the legs are always turning. You ever heard the term green limbs Chewy? Where his little satchel there turns a pearlescent color as well, which is just degradation. I think people try to say that that's a variant. It's just degradation of paint. His bandolier is a problematic area with a lot of rubs, along with his nose and his teeth. So, I mean, the rest of them seems fine.
He's like pretty easy to find because it's really only a couple of spots of paint. Like his hands and his feet and all that, it's nothing really to it. It's pretty easy.
It's mainly, like Brandon said, his bandolier. You'll see his mouth, and then you'll see his eyes. His always check the eyes, and like where like the blue is on the eye. Sometimes you see like one on the right, one down here. You just make sure that they're both like in the middle where this, you know, where they should be. And
it's like different paint applications that went wrong.
Yeah, he's an easy figure to find, Mint.
And he's in Hong Kong, and he's in Taiwan, right?
You can find them in Hong Kong, Taiwan, and no COO.
And what would a value be, Chris?
So for him, to be honest with you, most of the time, a no COO, I'm not saying most of the time, but a majority of no COO would be the harder one to find. For a Chewbacca, it's actually the Taiwan version would be the hardest one to find. It only came, I think, on one specific card back, maybe two. But a regular Hong Kong, you're looking at $25.
Like the 300 I've had two Taiwans.
Yep. I mean, and this was a discussion on one of the pages the other day. Someone was selling like a no COO, and someone made a comment saying like, oh, it's the hardest one to find. It's not the hardest one to find. Taiwan's the hardest one to find. By far. Yeah,
because and for anybody who's, I was just going to say, for anybody who's, you know, still a novice collector and maybe not familiar with all the terminology yet, no COO is no country of origin. And that is the stamp usually on the back leg of the figure. Sometimes it's on a different spot on the back. That's just going to be, you know, a copyright symbol a lot of times. And then, you know, a couple of characters, you know, speaking to the company. And then, you know, Hong Kong, H.K. Taiwan, China. There's a couple different country designations that you'll see on the back. So if you do not see those raised letters on the figure, that's what we're referring to when we say no COO. There's no country of origin that was printed on the figure through the mold.
Yeah, for a Chewbacca no COO, you would only find them on a Palitoy card, or you would find them on a Trilogo card, which those are basically European cards that were made to be released over in Europe.
Right, right.
Otherwise, here in the U.S. market, it's Hong Kong and Taiwan. And like I said, the Taiwan version is way harder for a Chewbacca to find.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of people, once they get beyond, you know, putting a line, you know, a run together of the figures, you know, they find it fun to collect the different versions, and that starts with the country of origin, because those little differences typically come from the different molds that were used in the different factories in those countries or in those regions. So, like you guys said, very little paint on this figure. You're not looking for a lot of areas of rub, but the areas that do have paint do get rubbed easily on this figure, the bandolier, the nose, like you guys said. So you're going to look out for that. The limbs, like you said, just get discolored. We lovingly refer to it, to those ones as green-limbed, you know, Chewies. The limbs discolor before the torso, and the pouch on the side could be brown, green, kind of yellowish mustard color. Whether it's degradation over time or different paint that was slightly used, a different color, I think we covered this one pretty good. Those are the things you're going to look out for the Chewbacca.
All right, who's next?
Big Daddy.
Doth.
The Big Daddy.
All right, Charles, accessory. What do we got here?
Doth Vader. Cape. It can have a zip or not. Same as the Ben. We didn't cover this with the Ben, but he also comes with a double telescoping, same as Ben. And then most of them are this single telescoping. Same as Ben, lettered. It cannot be lettered.
This is a single telescoping saber.
This is a single telescoping. Yeah.
Charles, what is a double telescoping? What is the difference?
So it's like that thinner filament is inside, kind of like a hollow tube hilt lightsaber.
And that slide that slides in and out.
Yeah, I mean. Okay. Most people are not going to have it, or will never have it, or will never even see it.
That's very scarce, I'd say. So if you find one out, just be suspect of it being
fake. So the Taiwan saber is very flexible. It's nothing like this Hong Kong one that's hard. It's flexible. There's just so many sabers. We're not going to go through all of them, but regular Hong Kong saber is like, same thing as a Ben, it's like $30 to $40, and the cape, same thing, maybe like $10, $12, something like that. Yeah, nothing.
For condition on the cape. Usually the same thing with Ben. You got to check for the armholes on there, little tiny cuts that are on there.
Especially the underarm, you know, underneath the arms. I've seen these
things pretty trashed. You know, the capes are usually just all cut up. You got to look for repair marks on the cape. Some people like to glue them back together or tape them back together. As far as condition, I mean, he's an all-black figure. The only thing you really got to look for is make sure that the head is on correctly, because a lot of times the heads are a little loose on these, just like the Luke figure. The chest and the belt are the big paint areas that you would need to watch out for. So all the little white and red paint marks on there, and then the belt buckle itself is a high rub area. So not a lot of paint on this figure, but obviously it's definitely something to look out for, is that chest piece.
Yeah, like Brandon was saying, actually one thing to note also is that a lettered saber is known as the earlier version of the saber. So it would be the double telescoping saber would be the first release. Lettered sabers are technically the second release, an earlier version, and then this regular version would be, you know, the latest release of the saber. Also for him, what you want to look for is like molding. He always suffers from mold. I'm drawing a blank right now what it's actually called when you see it on the mock. Frosting.
Yeah.
There you go. Couldn't think of it. He suffers from frosting a lot. I don't know if it's because it's an all-black figure or whatever the reason is, but Vader's, you'll see a lot of frosting, usually on his chest, his head, and his neck area. So always search for that.
And a value on him, Chris?
You know, again, if we're talking for like a mint one, it's probably the same as a Ben, $55, you know, around. You know, these figures can always vary between 40 to 60, depending on how nice they are. And that's the problem what most pages do. Most pages just see a Vader and think, all right, it's $60. Let me slap up $60. It's not really how it works. It shouldn't go like that. The price should be based on the condition. So the nicer it is, $60 would be like the high watermark, whereas 40 would be like the lower end. But
also, if it has like the lettered saber, it would bump the price up a little
correct.
Bit.
Yes.
And you also see with those sabers, you see them faded pretty often. And it might just be not sun faded necessarily, but the red was brighter back in the early 80s. And some of them have held the red color longer. Some are like pinkish. This orange, like the one on the screen orange. There is kind of pinkish orangish.
Yeah, it looks light. Yeah.
Now he has a ton of variants.
Oh, my God.
He's Hong Kong. He's Taiwan. He's made in Taiwan. You'll see a no COO.
There's a raised bar.
Yeah, there's a raised bar China. Like there are so many different versions of a Vader. It's not even funny. And it's like if you collect baggies, there are people that collect just Vader baggies because I think there's like 29 or 27 different baggie types alone just for a Vader.
It's good just Lord.
Crazy. Yeah, it's crazy.
So. All right. Well, like Brandon was saying, you know, right here where you see my arrow is the belt buckle. That's the largest, you know, probably painted spot on the whole figure. And then these little tiny dots, I mean, they get rubbed so easily. They're just little tiny paint applications. So, you know, another figure like Chewbacca that is mostly molded plastic, you don't have to look high and low, you know, for many spots of paint rub, but the spots that do have paint rub easily. So,
and he was a very, very playable figure, which means like when you were a kid, this was the figure you were playing with and doing battle scenes with. So a lot of them you do find are beat up. The capes are always torn. They're like melted looking. Mm-hmm. It's, you know.
Yeah, I read a report. They did. They reviewed all the figures. They interviewed thousands of people who were kids in the early 80s, and Vader and Lobot were the two most playable figures.
Oh, stop. No? Shane, stop. Oh, okay. Stop.
I believed it.
All right. Let's move on to the next figure. And, oh, I'm sorry. We're up here still. Everyone's favorite scoundrel and smuggler.
Smurf smuggler.
Oh my this God. Is
look at those eyebrows.
Yeah, this is the small head Han, am I right?
Yes,
correct.
So Han Solo, there are two major variants because they changed the mold for the head at some point, whether it was at one factory versus another, I don't know off the top of my head, but small head Han and big head Han, sounds funny, but the head is significantly different, was molded significantly different size, and the face looks different.
Small Charles came out before the large.
Yeah, small head was the first release. You'll find them, you know, you'll find them on 12-backs and stuff. I'm not sure if you can find the small head on a couple of Empire cards.
I don't think so. I think it's only, yeah, it's only 12-backs.
It might just be 12-backs, but then they switched over to the large head, and that's basically what you would find going down
the
rest of the
line. Is like so large, it's not even
Snowback.
After the success of the first movie, he got a big head, and that's what we got stuck with from there on out. Charles, kick it off for us about this figure, Han Solo.
Han Solo, he came with a Rebel Blaster. It is a blue-black. It's not a solid blue. Easy way to spot a repro on this one is you flip the Rebel Blaster to the back of it. If you see a square on the back of it, it is a repro. It should be a circle. They make these, and they're painted, so you can rub these on a piece of white paper. It should not draw. That's another easy way.
There's also a circle, the circle variant. They actually have a raised circle, which is fake as well.
There's a raised circle in the back. Yeah. There's another repro. Him, not to jump Chris, but the Rebel Blaster is about like $20 for like a blue black. But for me, I look at the white. The white always fades. It always turns yellow. And obviously, looking at this one, the eyebrows and the hair are just like, these eyebrows are ridiculous.
So with Han, the things I look for are the red stripe. As you can see on this one, there's barely any red above the holster area there on his right leg. The torso is painted on these, so the shirt tends to scuff up, and you'll see like black coming through on his chest there. Like Charles was saying, the white turns yellow on these pretty quick. So it's kind of hard to find an all solid. Like this one here is pretty nice, but the eyebrows are cooked on this one, and along with the hair. So, I mean, the eyebrows and the hair are the major rub areas on it. Usually the legs are fine, but you got to check for the red stripes on each side. These come in a molded and a painted leg variant. So if you'll see painted legs, which this one right here is all black, but if it's painted white painted legs, you might see a couple white spots on there. Is something else to check out for as well. But anything that's white on this figure is one of the big areas to degrade and get scuffed up.
Yep. Check the hair, the eyebrows. Like you said, the white will turn to yellow or even like a dark brown. Always look at the buckle. You want to make sure that the buckle is all filled in. You want to make sure his shirt, and another huge problem area is actually the V-line neck. You want to make sure it's all painted. A lot of the times they miss spots over here. And even though it was factory and they missed it, you send it in to get graded, it gets, you know, it gets taken off points. So you always want to check his neck area, like his V-line.
His zipper. The little zipper area on the V-neck. It's always, you got to make sure that's painted.
Check. And if you – oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, check the red stripes on, you know, on his legs. One leg, I believe, is a full red stripe. The other leg
left,
is like
– left leg is full. Right
and
leg
then the
is
other, not. And then the other side is like half on top, and then like the holster, then it goes back down again. So always check those lines for that. He's a very hard figure to find, honestly, in really good condition. He really is. He's not talked about as much, but he's a tough figure to find, at least if you're going to get him graded for like an 85. You know, the value goes up a lot. If I was selling a small headed one and he was mint, you're probably looking at $85. You know, the large head is definitely cheaper because there's a lot more of them. But
and if you have a nice one, do not stick the blaster in his hand because you're going to lose the paint.
These are one of those figures where if you really have a really nice example, and again, we're not promoting grading. I don't care about grading, but if you were thinking about grading, this is one of those figures that you should grade, whereas a Chewbacca you probably wouldn't grade because the value and the price doesn't really go up that much more if you get an 85. For a Han Solo to get an 85, the value goes up a lot more.
let me ask you guys this, because I do not have a painted legs Han Solo. I know that with the Han Hoth figure, which we'll get to down the line in another video, the painted legs version of that, you can look in the peg holes underneath the feet, and you can see, for the painted version, which is the common one, you can see the blue molded plastic in the peg hole, whereas the molded tan legs, you see the tan plastic. How about for this one? If you look in the peg holes, are you going to see white or, yes, or not?
Yes.
Okay, so that's the easy way to tell if you have painted leg figure.
Just flip him over and look in the peg hole. If you see white, and I believe it's only going to be one of them, if you see white in one of the peg holes, is it in both?
It's in both, yeah.
Okay.
I know all the examples that I've had, it's only been in one. But just flip him over, look in the peg hole, you'll see white. Even if he has scratches in his leg underneath it, you'll see that it's white because he's painted. But again, if you have the molded version, for whatever reason, again, he gets frosting a lot in his legs, so you'll see frosting a lot in his legs too.
This figure kind of blows my mind a bit because, you know, you wonder what the reason is that they ever molded any of his legs in white and then painted the entire leg in black. It's not even like there's some white that they're, you know, that they're saving on, and then for the torso, the whole shirt is painted white, where we know across the whole line, any of the figures that have a lighter color painted on darker plastic,
the torso is painted black.
Has become a problem. The torso is
black, painted white.
That's what I mean. Yeah, the shirt is painted white on black, and we know across the line, anytime that there's light paint on a darker plastic, over time, you know, that becomes very apparent. It wears, even just not from scratches, just even from rubs of your fingers over the years, it starts to thin out. And you see, you know, that plastic underneath. So this figure, like I said, blows my mind because it's kind of done backwards for the painted legs version. Typically, you'd see the majority color is what the color plastic they chose to mold. Look for those arms. They fade, you know, like you guys said, they get discolored to yellow. You're dealing with white paint, which 40 something years ago matched the arms perfectly, but now not so much. And the belt buckle gets, you know, rubbed easily.
You won't find a Taiwan version or a China version. You'll mainly see Hong Kong, and then you'll see the occasional no COO.
Okay. All right, great. All right, guys, we are going to wrap up this episode with our final figure of the day. And it's a good one.
I thought we were wrapping up for good.
No, we're not wrapping up for good. You'll be well retired from the military before we do that. All right, the Imperial Stormtrooper. I think this is really a favorite of most Star Wars collectors. I think most people you talk to who had these figures when they were a kid will tell you they didn't have enough Stormtroopers. Maybe they didn't even have more than one. They don't know why their parents would get them one bad guy and 50 good guys, but everybody loves a Stormtrooper. Everybody wants more of them. Charles, give us a little introduction. Tell us what are the highlights. What do you look for?
The Imperial Stormtrooper, he comes with a blue-black Imperial blaster. A lot of the repros on the side clip will be like a square like indent, like right on the side. A lot of blasters are also painted, so you can rub it on a white piece of paper. Him himself, the black does wear on it, but it's mainly like his limbs and his white are just not white anymore. So he is very hard to find, but even one like heavily played with, everybody wants it. Everybody wants a loose Stormtrooper.
Yeah,
you can get $10-$12 all day long for a beater Stormy. Like you were saying, the black on his visor there above his eyes, that's almost always gone. Some of the black on his limbs, especially his hands, that's a really trouble area on these guys. And then the number one thing I find on a Stormtrooper is the limbs are always degraded in some sort of way with either yellow on the torso or pink limbs.
Pink.
So, I mean, another heavily played with figure, but this time was not good to the Stormtrooper. Over 40 plus years, these figures have degraded pretty quick. And it's really hard to find an all white one. I mean, you might want, and, you know, speaking of repro, like the things that Charles was talking about, some things you want to look on this figure is a repro figures, because people are reproing the actual figure. And B, a lot of people like to bleach these figures and put them in peroxide to get them really white. So, and one way to look for that is sometimes you can smell it on the figure. You can, sometimes they're still wet if you get it, you know, in the mail or whatever. And also the black area on there, it turns a little gray.
Yeah, it starts to fade.
So it starts to fade on there, and it fades the paint. So, and that's fine and all. You know, you can do whatever you want to your action figures, but the yellow and the pink, it comes back. So over time, it's just going to come back on there. But again, this is probably one of the hardest figures to find solid white.
What do you think it's worth, Chris? Like value range?
I mean, like Brandon said, you can sell beaters. The ones that I like to call a urinal variant that looks like it's been sitting in a urinal or up someone's butthole. You can get $10 to $12 all day long for those. I mean, you can even get $15. People buy them. People have dioramas all the time. They have so many different action scenes, mint ones. I mean, I sell really nice ones. Let's put it this way. That would probably grade an 80, and I can get $50, $60 all day long with a blaster. So even higher than that, I usually don't sell them. I send them in for grading because to get an 85 is just so near impossible. It brings the value up to like $250 if you get an 85.
Yeah. The things that come to mind for me for this figure are the limbs. Finding tight limbs in this figure is near impossible. I think it has to do with how the figure was constructed and the plastic that was used for the limbs. The limbs are a softer material, in my opinion, than a lot of the other figures are. They're a little bit more flexible. This figure is known for a lot of variants as well, including a hard torso. It is literally hard plastic, the torso, on some of these figures, where if you tapped it on a table, you could hear, you know, the hard plastic. It's not a dull thud like the limbs. And so just the way the figure was constructed, I think it's just really, really hard to find tight limbs. I don't think that the limbs were all that tight even to begin with. The other thing is, even on the most mint examples of this figure, like really, really unplayed with nice figures, because the areas of paint are so small, and you can see this right on the screen, there's little bands of black, even on the top of the legs by the like the pelvis area, they're just little strips of black. And then, of course, the hands, there are plenty of these figures where the paint application was just poor from the factory. And because the areas they're painting are so small and they're painting them on white, like a blank canvas, you see overspray, like little spritz, airbrushing little black that goes up the arm a little bit, that goes down the leg a little bit. So even if you're finding one that has no rubs, it's really hard to find one with great paint application too. So limbs, discoloring, paint application, rubs from play. You're battling the elements here.
And he came in Hong Kong, was the most, you know, widely version of him. You'll see no COO. You'll see China, Raise Bar, stuff like that. No Taiwan.
Raise China Bar.
Yeah. Raise China Bar is my favorite factory.
So,
all right.
There's plenty of different variants for a Stormtrooper.
There are. There's quite a few, way too many for us to go through, but there are slightly different paint applications, different material for the chest, the torso, different molds for the torso, where some of the lines are much more defined than others and much softer on others. So go out there. There's plenty of websites out there to educate yourself. Again, we'll give a shout out and say thank you to this galacticcollector.com. You know, we don't have an affiliation with him. Came across the site just like you would on Google. And he has some nice photos here. So we're happy to say thank you to him. Go check out his website and see what resources he has there. And, of course, there's plenty of others as well. Also, you're going to want to come back to Five Idiots Talking Toys on YouTube or listen to us on your favorite podcast app. Of course, an episode like this is so visual. We put the figures up on the screen here, and it's great to talk about these while we're looking at them. So come on back to our channel as well. We're going to go through the entire line of these figures over the next handful of videos. And we will also remind you that we have our own Patreon, patreon.com/fiveidiotstalkingtoys. And you'll get some exclusive content there if you sign up to be a member there and support the show. We appreciate it. Guys, A fun episode. It's nice to get back to the roots and talk about the toys, really get down to the fine points of those. And we'll do that again next. On our next episode, we'll go through the next six figures or so in the line and complete the first 12, you know, the famous first 12 that came out in 1979. All right, boys, have fun with the rest of your evening, and I will talk to you soon. Goodbye, everyone. Thanks for watching 5 Idiots Talking Toys.
Thank you.
Yippee-doo.